Nora Brecker has been with the League of Women Voters for a long time. She's been a representative of the League of Women Voters. She was the chief spokesperson for the League on Proposition 208. And along with all of us seated at this table, is quite disappointed that the legislature has seen fit to repeal Proposition 208 and put something worse on the ballot and call it reform. Ladies and gentlemen, Nora Brecker.
Thank you. It was almost the late Nora Brecker. Anyhow, I'm here to talk about Prop 208. And you know, from the very onset, there's been a big difference in Prop 208, even in the way they were drafted, between 208 and 34. 208 was, it took 9 months before that baby was born. All the good government groups got together. We used to meet at the pavilion public rooms, and sometimes there'd be 40 people sitting around the table trying to decide what we want in a campaign finance bill and how we're going to get it. We met, I would say, probably monthly, and eventually it dwindled down to the four groups that really were sponsored Proposition 208. It was Common Cause, AARP, forgotten the name. Oh, yes, the League of Women Voters, and the Ross Perot Group, Citizens United We Stand, right. And we got this gentleman here. After we told him what we wanted, he wrote the initiative, and it was really a very good, comprehensive campaign finance bill. After that came all the usual fun of getting the initiative on the ballot and then campaigning for its passage. This whole thing took over 2 years. We started in the fall of 1994, and it ended Election Day in 1996. And you heard how Prop 34 got on the ballot, zipped right through. So I think that's the whole difference between the two programs. You know, it's grassroots versus the politicians. And Prop 34 is a political instrument, purely political, created by politicians for the benefit only of politicians. Okay, what's in Prop 208? What's so wonderful about this initiative that we have to fight to retain it? Well, first of all, are the limits. And the limits have always been a problem with 208. While we were crafting it, many people, many on the committee felt that the limits that we agreed to were too high. The bill passed. Judge Carlton decided the limits were too low. Finally, the Supreme Court agrees with us, it's okay, and we really do feel that, you know, these are good limits. Anyhow, the Supreme Court in the Nixon versus Shrink, Missouri, that limits of $1,000 or less are constitutional, that they do not infringe on the First Amendment rights of free speech. So, and as both Craig and Jim said, you know, that their opponents really feel. I mean, they know that probably 208 is going to be reinstated unless Prop 34 is passed. Our contribution limits from an individual for the legislature, are $250 for each election. That's primary and general election. It's $500 if they agree to spending limits. For the governor, it's $500 or $1,000, and it's the same for any statewide candidate. We have contribution limits from small contributor committees, which are twice the limits that an individual can give. Contributions from political parties, they're very strict reforms in Proposition 208. It's 25% of the voluntary spending limits, period. This says, point blank, to the political parties, this is all you can give them. You've heard over and over there are no limits in any race from political parties. What a political party can contribute to a candidate. Proposition 208 has aggregate limits that a candidate can accept from corporations or unions or PACs, which means that a union can't have every one of their locals sending in the same contribution if they've got, you know, it's just one contribution. An individual can make one contribution, can contribute $5,000 a year to political parties, and that's it. And you've heard the problems with in Prop 34. $25,000 a year limit if it's used as a direct contribution, but a person can give any amount they want for any other use. Okay, and one other thing that Proposition 208 has, as far as limits goes, that's very important, is there is an aggregate on the total amount that any individual can give to an election. And it's $25,000 for a two-year cycle to all state candidates and political parties, period. There are no aggregate limits, naturally, in Proposition 34. The big difference, I mean, just as big a difference is the voluntary spending limits, because to have spending limits, you have to have a carrot in front of the rabbit, because the Supreme Court has said that you can't have mandatory spending limits. They are an infringement of free speech. Proposition 208, I think, has really strong bait. It's a strong lure. All, as you have heard, all contribution limits are doubled if the candidate agrees to accept spending limits. In addition to that, their name, it'll be noted in the ballot and in the ballot pamphlet, and they can write a statement in the ballot pamphlet. The only thing, the only incentive that Proposition 34 has for a candidate to accept voluntary spending limits is they get a notation, a little star or something, in the ballot pamphlet, and they have the privilege of purchasing a statement in the pamphlet. It's not given to them. I don't think any candidate is going to accept this. Then there are other provisions that are just as important that nobody has talked about. Proposition 208 has a limit on how much money a candidate can loan his own campaign, his or her own campaign. This is very important because there's no way that you can stop a person from using his or her own money. But at least, and what many of them do today is, you know, they'll loan their campaign $100,000, $1 million. Then they'll take the money that's been given to them after the campaign if it hasn't been spent, and the campaign pays them back. Under 208, there is a limit of $50,000 in the governor's race and $20,000 in all other races. Proposition 34 does have a limit, but it's $100,000 for all state races. Proposition 208 bans the transfer of funds from one committee to another, which means we've had some people in the Los Angeles area who were notorious for that. They were in safe seats. They took money from special interests, and then they gave it to their friends, their buddies, or whatever. Proposition 208 bans off-year fundraising. There are specific dates. I think it's 6 months before the primary election. They can start raising money, and directly after the general election, they have to stop. So that stops this wonderful practice of, you know, a person gets elected to office, goes to Sacramento, gets on the phone, and starts raising money for the next election. And this happens all the time. Another thing that Proposition 208 bans is the carryover of surplus funds. After the general election, money must either be returned or given to a charity. Anyhow, so there you have it. 208 is a great bill. It's the grassroots versus the good old guys. And the people really want campaign finance reform, and it's almost within their grasp. And then let's just hope that Proposition 34 doesn't spoil it. Thank you.